This is Colourful.
Let's talk to a former Home Secretary about what's happening right now, relations between the police, between politicians and the press. She was the first female Home Secretary, a landmark achievement indeed. Her name is Jackie Smith, former MP for Redditch. Jackie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How taken by surprise were you yesterday when the news came in that Sir Paul Stevenson had resigned as Met Commissioner just 2 days before he was due to appear before the Home Affairs Select Committee?
I was pretty surprised, I have to say, when I heard the news. I was quite disappointed. I like Sir Paul. I appointed him when I was Home Secretary, and I think he was doing a good job. I think he's a good police officer. But I could understand when I heard his statement that he felt that some of the decisions that he'd made, that I think he said that, you know, he regretted in hindsight, meant that the pressure, the focus really turned on to him, and it made it very difficult for him to do what people across London actually need him to do, and that is to focus on cutting crime, cutting terrorism, and dealing with the things that are important to them.
But it only seemed to be about 48 hours since the Champney story was released. Could he have not tried to tough it out a little bit longer?
Well, I think he was pretty, you know, he was pretty robust about that Champney story. And of course, you know, he made the point that he went there in order to recover more quickly so that he could get back to work and in some ways, therefore, you know, save the Met money. Mm. But I think it was this relationship with Neil Wallace, which he also, of course, claims he didn't have any direct role in actually recruiting him. But when I think you have somebody who is being investigated by the Met, who you then employ to give you PR advice, even though the second predated the first, mm-hmm. It's a very difficult situation to be in. I think, you know, I think Sir Paul could have carried on, but I think he thought, we're in the run-up to the Olympics, we've got lots of things that people are concerned about across London, the Met Commissioner needs to be able to focus on those, and actually I'm now being distracted and turned away from those things to focus on defending myself and past decisions that I've made.
And Jackie, during your time as Home Secretary, wasn't there essentially a tug of war between the Home Secretary and the Mayor over who was his boss, who is the Met Commissioner's boss and who has the power to sack him?
Absolutely, there was, yeah. You know, there were some pretty strong words said between Boris Johnson and myself at the time, because Boris effectively did sack Ian Blair, and it wasn't his place to do it. But basically, if the Mayor removes his confidence from the Commissioner of the Met Police, then, you know, that effectively means it's very difficult for you to carry on in that job. I mean, the reality is that the next Met Commissioner will be appointed, actually they'll be appointed by the Queen, but on a recommendation of the Home Secretary and the Prime Minister in consultation with the Mayor. Now, you know, I think Boris has got a bit of a problem here because he likes to sort of weigh in when there's some controversy, but, you know, he actually hasn't done particularly well, incidentally, throughout the whole of this phone hacking scandal. Let's not forget that just last year, Boris Johnson called phone hacking a lot of codswallop and a politically motivated thing. So, you know, he's got a few questions to answer about whether or not he's always taken this seriously himself.
How robust did the exchanges get between yourself and Boris Johnson? Did you have to put him in his place?
Well, whether or not I did put him in his place is questionable, but there were raised voices, I think it's fair to say.
Hmm.
And I'm just thinking, I thought over Ian Blair, he behaved appallingly.
I'm just wondering about the behaviour of some of the senior officers who appeared before the Select Committee just the other day. And we had John Yates, Deputy Assistant Commissioner, of course, former Assistant Commissioner Andy Heyman, and we had Pete Clark as well. And some people, they said they looked more like Keystone Cops than the Met's finest. Do you think that was fair, given just how botched the review was, just 8 hours from John Yates? And I suppose the lack of seriousness with which that whole process was taken.
I think that's a very fair point. I mean, I think the Met took and trust in the Met took a big knock last week when those officers went in front of the Select Committee. I have to say, I thought Sue Akers, who of course is in charge of the current Operation Wheating investigation into phone hacking, did a good and solid job.
Yeah.
But some of the others,
especially Andy Heyman,
the sort of general view that was left of the way in which they as a group performed, I don't think was particularly impressive. And I think that's another reason why as Sir Paul said, there's a big job to be done for people to sort of regain their confidence in the Met, and he felt that staying in position was actually going to make that more difficult. I mean, interestingly, Boris just this morning has suggested that John Yates is going to be appearing in front of the Professional Standards Board of the Met Police Authority to answer questions, not just, I think, about his failure to properly review that investigation into phone hacking, but also because he too and his section of the Met had were involved in the employment of Neil Wallace. So they, you know, the section that he leads has had links to Neil Wallace, and that's certainly something where questions need to be asked.
When you hear that the Prime Minister has had 26 meetings with News International since he became Prime Minister, what does that say to you? Because for me, I mean, I wouldn't have any idea how normal this is for Prime Ministers to meet organisations like that anyway. But it sounds a hell of a lot of times to me, and I just cannot imagine what they could possibly need to liaise on so often if there's no funny business going on.
Well, I don't necessarily criticise the Prime Minister for meeting with editors and senior media proprietors. And he's met, although actually slightly fewer times, he's also met with The Telegraph, with people from The Guardian and from the Mail Group, etc. So I think there will always, and there should be, a relationship between politicians and the media, and I think that's inevitable. It should be more open and transparent in the future. I think that's important. Where I think the Prime Minister's got more questions to answer is over his appointment of Andy Coulson. Because let's not forget, Paul Stevenson, in his resignation statement, said, look, one of the reasons I'm resigning is because of my judgment, or the Met's judgment, in employing the deputy editor of the News of the World, as he went on to point out, who actually at the time had left the News of the World not because he'd been fired, not particularly with a cloud over his head at that particular point. In contrast, the Prime Minister employed Andy Coulson, who had been fired from the News of the World and definitely did have a cloud over his head. So, you know, if Sir Paul Stevenson thinks he has to resign because he employed Neil Wallace, it does make you ask questions about the Prime Minister's judgment with respect to Andy Coulson. And I thought it was very... Actually, I think Paul Stevenson really pointed in that direction in his resignation statement.
He did, but I must say, Jackie, watching him making that statement and comparing him to the man I met in the flesh some months ago, he cut a much more diminished figure. I mean, when I met him face-to-face, very, very robust, talking about London policing and the challenges ahead, you know, real bluff, a Lancashire man. And then yesterday, he did look crumpled and he looked shrunken. And I thought to myself, wow, is this what being at the eye of the storm does to you? You know, being forced to resign and seeing all your dreams go up in smoke. And then I thought to myself, I thought about you. And I thought, well, let's talk to Jackie Smith, former Home Secretary. She was at the eye of the storm and she herself stepped down too. What's it like?
I can completely understand why Sir Paul looked like he did. You know, it is an awful thing to have to do, because you are walking away from a job. You know, certainly what I felt like was I was walking away from a job that I loved, that was an immense honour, that I had really enjoyed doing, that had been a massive challenge, but that I had liked. But actually, you get to a point, certainly for me, you get to a point where you feel the focus on me personally is making me unable to do justice to this very important job that I've been given. And I think that's what Sir Paul felt as well. And it is an absolutely awful thing to have to do. And that's why I think he looked as he did, you know?
Well, because there is a real personal cost, though, isn't there?
Oh, there is. And it takes, I can tell you, you know, quite a long time to get over that and get through it. But in one way, perhaps you never will, because, you know, what you're almost certainly doing is stepping down from the best and most important job that you will ever have. Mm. And, you know, takes a bit of time to get used to that. But you have to do what you think's right for you, and in my case, what I thought was right for my family as well.
What about dealing with bitterness? Because obviously Gordon Brown the other day did his big speech in Parliament. It didn't seem to go down too well. People just saw him as a kind of loser, if you like. And I'm wondering if, you know, a lot of the people who are on the Select Committee, the MPs, they're getting accused of grandstanding and getting their own back on the press after the expenses scandal. Do you feel any sense of like, you feel the pressure now?
I would be dishonest if I didn't say that. But there's a certain amount of, yeah, that's what it feels like to be in the eye of a storm.
Mm.
However, I do think it's really, I certainly, you know, one of the things I have constantly repeated to myself is, you made the decision, you made the mistakes, don't be bitter about what happened to you. And I think, you know, particularly if you're reasonably young like I am, mm-hmm. If you go through the whole of the rest of your life feeling bitter about what's happened to you, you won't be able to achieve anything else. You won't be able to live a full life, and I'm very determined that I am able to do those things. I mean, on Gordon, incidentally, I thought, in one way, he's got a lot of reason to feel hard done by. Particularly, I think what happens to you is when your family suffer because of the situation you find yourself in, that's what makes you angry. Those of us who go into politics know that we're going to take the knocks. But when it goes on to our families, that's what we find difficult, I think, to deal with. Gordon also, of course, made the point in his speech that he wasn't just speaking up for himself. He was also speaking up for the very many other people we now know who were treated in a really appalling way by journalists in News International, and incidentally, I suspect, more widely than that as well, and who don't have that voice. So actually, I think what Gordon was doing was quite honourable, and he was giving voice to others who weren't able to do it in the way that he was.
Do you think you'll make a return to politics?
Well, one of the things I've said since I left Parliament is politics happens more widely than simply in Westminster. Mm. So in one way, I don't feel like I've left politics. You know, I still campaign, I work on a variety of different issues. Am I going to stand for Parliament again? Almost certainly not. But will I always be interested in politics? Yes.
A bit like Tony Benn, he left Westminster famously to concentrate on politics, he said.
Exactly.
And one more thing, Jack. I mean, when you look at the, I suppose, the behaviour, the way in which Ed Miliband has conducted himself over the past week or so, he's gone up 7% in the poll. Some people are saying this might be the making of him. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, leader of the opposition, incredibly difficult job. Not many opportunities come along for you to define yourself. And when they do, you need to make the right decision. And I think, you know, cometh the hour, cometh the man, Ed has really led the way on this. I think it's, you know, there's a long way to go before the next election. There's lots of other things we need to do and Ed needs to do in order to get us elected. But the way he has behaved, the braveness and the forwardness that he's shown on this, I think is admirable and sets him in very good stead. And of course, he's making another speech today where he's going that one step further to actually talk more broadly about the way in which media ownership tends to be concentrated in only a few hands and what we need to do to tackle that.
Jackie, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. Much appreciated.
Good to talk to you.
Excellent. That's Jackie Smith, former Home Secretary.
This is Colourful.